How informed are Americans about politics and what's going on in the world around them? More specifically, how informed are young Americans? Anecdotally, we've all heard that young people are too busy with college classes, their social lives, or starting their adult lives to pay attention to what they believe may or may not have an impact on them. There's also some who think liberal college professors try to indoctrinate their students and have no time for those who disagree with them. Allison Dagnes is a professor of political science at Shippensburg University, who recently concluded a column in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that most of the kids are all right. She is with us today, along with Shippensburg student Deshaun Ford. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. Dagnes, other than the 40-year-old song by The Who about the kids being all right, what did you mean the kids are all right?
I think that there's a widespread misunderstanding, or maybe it's stereotyping, that college students are angry and they're protesting. And I know folks on the right who think that college students are kind of almost all liberal, and folks on the left think that college students are insufficiently liberal or maybe all conservative. And so I, you know, just get to talk to so many kids, and they are in the main, not our political science majors, but our gen ed students and students from other disciplines. They're happy, they're not very political, and they're very busy with things going on. And they just don't want to get screamed at, and they don't want to scream at anybody else. And that makes it all right.
Now, when you say that, you say that they're happy and all that, but how informed are they?
Some are well informed. Some are informed-ish, maybe informed adjacent. However informed you can be from TikTok, I think, is how informed they are. But don't take it from me. You should.
Well,
ask,
okay, Deshaun, that was my my question. Okay, now is she joking about TikTok? Is that where you get most of your news?
Not me personally, but some people, unfortunately, yes.
Where do you get most of your news?
Now I'm starting to look into more articles now that I'm in college. But previous to college, it was mainly Instagram.
So it was social media.
Yes.
But when you say articles from mainstream media or what?
Articles from like news sources.
Okay. How do you choose what you think is legitimate, credible, and what's not?
Well, thanks to Dr. Dagnes and other professors, they provided, a blueprint for news sources that aren't partisan and news sources that are partisan. So you just have to look out and be a critical thinker.
Okay, so how do you do that?
Well, there are several different ways and some great sources where you can fact check, you know, different sites. And so there are news rating sites like All Sides and what's the really, really good? Adfontes. And so if you go to those, you could see that kind of right down the middle when they aren't biased and when they are really more fact-based as opposed to opinion-based.
I've actually seen a chart of that.
Those are great charts. Truly, if you go to one of the news services, the Associated Press or Reuters, you're going to get non-biased, just the news, just the facts, and that's a great way to stay informed. And that should be the bulk of your news diet. And then you can add on all of the kind of flavorful stuff after that.
And not just young people, but
everybody.
Americans overall, will they take the time to do that? I mean, one of the things that we've seen, a phenomena, if you will, over the last 10 years or so, maybe even longer than that, is the bias of information bias that we go to sources, we meaning Americans, go to sources that agree with us, with our point of view.
Right.
So how do you get to someone who has a point of view and wants to have that point of view reinforced? How do you get them to go to a news source that is down the middle?
You know, that's a term called confirmation bias,
right,
where we seek
right.
out the stuff that we, right. you know, that agrees with us. And it's hard to push people out of that comfort zone. But that also goes the same for the kind of news sources that we are comfortable with writ large. So I grew up in D.C., so the Washington Post is my comfortable outlet. And it takes just a little bit of training. And I've read that after 13 days of trying to go to a different news source first. That then will break your habit. It's that way with food. It's that way with, you know, trying to exercise. It's like 13 days is the magic number. So if you change your home screen from whatever it is, partisan, nonpartisan, whatever, and then move it over to one of the news sources that these news rating sites think are valuable, then maybe after 13 days, that really will be comfortable for you. Mm.
The column you wrote in the Post-Gazette, and that's what really wanted to talk about today, that you talked about a quiz that the political science department at SHIP puts out for your students. Talk about that quiz, what you were looking for, and what you found.
Well, it's not a standardized quiz. I was talking with my colleagues, and we all just really want to know what do our students know so that we can either address something that's quizzical for them or that we can maybe clean up some misperceptions. And so in this one case, the one that I wrote about, which, by the way, originally was in Real Clear, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
And a
okay.
great, that's a very interesting news.
You're published
source.
In multi
That's what I'm trying to say here,
okay,
Scott.
Okay, good.
Yes,
I'm
trying
glad
to say
you
I'm very important.
Okay, I'm
yeah,
glad you pointed that out.
That's what I'm going for. Uh-huh. No, I wanted to give a shout out to Real Clear PA because they're the ones who had me write this. But if you know, as we were talking about this, we said let's just find out. And so my colleague Lance Bailey said, "All right, here are three questions for his students," and then I gave a different three for mine, just to get a sort of just a baseline. Who is George Santos? How many, you know, can you name two people who are running for president on the Republican side? And what we found is that most really just don't know. And so if we're tiptoeing around an issue, maybe we don't need to tiptoe around that issue. Maybe we could say, wait, do you know what this is first? And then we can try and address it in a way that's going to get everybody involved.
So George Santos, I mean, he's all over social media in memes.
Yeah.
Apparently not memes that young people look at.
Apparently not. And you know, and his is one of those stories that I think every newsman would like to be able to report on because it's
bizarre.
It's a meaty bone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
He is the man that bit the dog. And so that's just going to get click after click. And yet it just did not break through the you know, the social media stuff. And, you know, Deshaun knew about George Santos, but he was one of 9 out of 57 who did.
Okay, what about the Republican candidates for president?
Most students were able to get one, and of course that one was Donald Trump, right? Because, you know, you hear about him constantly.
Yeah.
But some of the other answers were just hysterically funny. And in one of the quizzes that I did, I asked, can you name one of our representatives in Pennsylvania? You know, any senator, house, anything. We had 7 different spellings of Fetterman, and I was happy that they kind of knew who Fetterman was, but they also thought that his name was Federman or Fetterfin. And Fetterfin.
Okay, mm-hmm. Senator Fetterman.
Fetterman.
And Fetterman.
Yes, which was hyphenated.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's a George Santos thing.
But you said some of the presidential answers were hysterical. Like, in what way?
They were. Well, actually, kids, apparently in 2 different classes, there was one kid in each class who named Vermin Supreme. And I think that that is actually quite that's a deep dive, right? That's a deep cut. So way to go them. But other ones were that lady from someplace, you know, and then there was another one that said the guy who used to be vice president, but who now isn't. And I thought, well, that's close. You know, I'll give you credit for Mike Pence. Sure. Absolutely.
How do you know it was Mike Pence?
Well, you see, that's why you
could
can't.
Be Al Gore.
It could be Al Gore. He's back from the internet stuff. Yeah, he's ready to go.
So, Deshaun, what do you think when you hear that so many of your people your age and your classmates that just don't have that kind of information? Is it important to them?
No, I don't feel like it's very important to them. I feel like it's just on a personal level on if you want to be politically informed or if you don't, and if you care about the issues in your community and want to actually make a change in your community, then you should.
Mm-hmm. Do they understand that, or they just figure somewhere in my life, this is going to become more important. When I get, when I'm dealing with real life out there outside of college, is that what they're thinking?
Yeah, I feel like most of them believe once they get older, then that'll be the time to get into politics, but there's no time better than now.
What are the issues that are important to people in your age group?
I would say gun violence. That's a huge one. Quality of life issues, like issues going on within like the local community, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Gun violence. Now, we were talking before the show. You're from Philadelphia. Philadelphia, yeah, over the last 3 years has had a record number of murders committed with firearms. Do you think maybe people coming with your background from Philly, maybe that's a bigger issue than, say, someone from a rural area of Pennsylvania, or is there a big issue everywhere?
Yes, definitely. Even like when I'm talking to certain colleagues from around this area, the stories I tell them, they're just like completely taken by storm. Like, it's just surprising because they haven't encountered things like that.
Mm-hmm. Our guest today, Dr. Allison Dagnes, professor of political science at Shippensburg University, and a student at Shippensburg, Deshaun Ford. Deshaun, I didn't ask, what's your major?
I'm currently a dual major in public service and criminal justice.
What do you want to do?
Eventually, I want to either get into government or law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe both.
Maybe both.
Maybe both. But we're talking about what young people know about politics, what they don't know. So, Dr. Dagnes, I'm curious. Walk us through a political science class today.
Well, I think it really depends on who's teaching it. But one of my classes, I normally had liked to begin talking about what's going on in the world, and just so that everybody can kind of level set. And students now will ask questions at the start of class. So yesterday, a young lady said, can you please explain the whole TikTok Congress thing? And I said, sure. And so we talked about it, and students asked questions, and I was able to pull up on the computer an article or, you know, a graphic, something that they could wrap their heads around. And so once we did that, it was really easy then to segue into the topic of the day, you know, which either is going to be the presidency or the bureaucracy and the role that the courts have in all of this. And, you know, just to show that political science is very applicable and that you don't have to be screaming at somebody and it doesn't have to be this big shout fest or anger fest. And we can all get along and maybe disagree sometimes, maybe not, but we don't have to be disagreeable about it.
Is that something that you actually, when you're in class, you tell your students that we don't have to yell at one another?
Oh, yes. And Deshaun is
yeah, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. She's definitely very inclusive and supports everybody's thoughts. And she doesn't mind, like, if we go off script or go off schedule for the class just to have a discussion about what's going on, mm-hmm, in the world.
Well, and that's the, you know, rather than sticking to, you know, the, I don't want to say the curriculum, but, you know, what you have planned for that day in class. I mean, that's a good thing. The TikTok thing is so interesting, mm-hmm, because it is an issue where you may have some disagreement from younger people, mm-hmm, who are using TikTok. And I don't want to say older people, but let's face it, a lot of the people who want something done with TikTok, sure, are older because they see it as a possible national security threat.
Right. And you know, it's fun to explain things because they think you're going in one direction, and then you pivot to this other direction, and they have more questions, and then you pivot back to a different direction, and they have even more questions. And by the end of it, I think all of us, not just me, but all of the faculty, especially in the political science department, we just want students to have an understanding of things so they can make up their own minds. And as my students were getting really, you know, they love TikTok. So as they were getting upset with the thought of a ban, I said, so let's just put this into a political context. You know, President Biden is going to be running for re-election. Do you think he wants to cancel all of your TikToks? And they all shook their heads at the same time. And I said, why? And he said, because we won't vote for him. And I said, there you go. Now you can be a pundit. You can go out there and spread all the
But what's the alternative, though, for young people? I mean, I can't see young people voting for Donald Trump.
Well, actually, a lot of young people do, and we have a lot of Trump supporters.
I mean,
that's
okay. I shouldn't have painted that with such a broad brush.
Right.
But if you go by the election results in 2020, most young people voted, and they do vote Democratic rather than Republican for the most part.
That is true. But the hard truth is that in the main, most young people don't vote at all.
Right.
And
right.
So sometimes we'll hear a lot of noise out of college students, but then when the voting results results come back.
You know? Why?
I think what Deshaun was saying is right. You know that a lot of kids think, well, it'll be important to me later. And as the issues start to barrel towards them and become important to them now, I think that they get, you know, very engaged. I think that's what happened with you, right?
Deshaun, let me interrupt for just a second and just ask a follow-up question. Is it for those, and I'm not going to ask whether you voted or not, but for those who don't vote, is it that they don't think their vote will count, that what they're saying, when I say count, and I have to kind of, you have to clarify that nowadays, but when I say vote won't count, that it won't make a difference, or is it that they don't feel informed enough to make a decision?
I feel like it's a multitude of things. Some people just aren't informed on how to register to vote.
Even as far as registering?
Yeah, even as far as registering. But some people just simply don't care. About voting, at least from my experiences and talking to people I talk to.
So from a political standpoint, would Joe Biden care about TikTok if he knows not a lot of young people are going to vote?
I think he does, because TikTok is so ubiquitous now. It did the exact trajectory of Facebook, where first it was just kids and then it was suddenly like middle-aged people,
right?
Like me.
And now Facebook is like for us older
Facebook
people.
Our students are not on Facebook anymore.
Deshaun, you on Facebook?
I have a Facebook, but I'm not.
No, you know, no. It saddens me.
It really is sad.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, yeah, it's totally true. You know, another reason that I think a lot of students don't vote is that politicians don't ask students for their vote.
No.
And that is a big problem, because I want as many politicians, Democrats, Republicans, libertarians, come to our campus, talk to our students. And, you know, we have, 5,000 kids a CHIP, something like that? That's a lot of votes right there that you are leaving on the table.
They don't come?
Nope. They almost never do.
Okay, so no presidential candidate that I can recall going to Shippensburg University.
Nobody since I've been there for 20
years. What about a candidate for Congress?
Well, we had the vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin, came in 2008, and the Straight Talk Express almost ran me over.
On purpose or?
Probably. Okay. No, it was speeding, though. I mean, it was going really fast. I was very surprised.
In Alaska, they can, you know, they don't have speed limits.
Yeah. Well, they're moose, right? It's a lot of moose. Folks for Congress, not really as many. And it's been sort of, again, it's mostly Democrats. And I keep wondering, why aren't the Republicans coming to us? Because in our classes, Deshaun, it's like probably 50-50.
Yeah.
Really? 50-50 between Republican and Democrats?
I would say so. Based off of what, like, nobody just outright says their political affiliation, but based off of, like, their thoughts and ideas on certain issues, then yeah.
Huh. So that may surprise people, again, because we've heard that young people, especially with social issues, are more liberal. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that. But I also think that it's just depending on where you're from and where you're, what your parents identify as.
Mm-hmm. That the parents still have a big they have a big influence on them. Okay. So we only have about 3 minutes left, so I'm trying to get as much in as I can. But Dr. Dagnes, Deshaun mentioned the issues, gun violence, quality of life. Your observation from talking to so many kids with this 50-50 split, what issues do you see that are important to them?
I think that Deshaun really has his finger on this, you know, that gun violence is very, very scary for them, because these kids have been raised in an environment where at schools they had active shooter drills and, you know, and so that was nothing I was ever raised with. But what that does is it opens up the door to have folks in the class who are very Second Amendment focused say, all right, well, let's talk about the other side of this. You know, how much is too much government overreach? And when you can have civilized conversations on something that's such a personal
topic. How can you, though? That's the difficult part.
Oh, we do all the time.
Well, then, okay, then maybe we should observe your class.
No, because you don't have to do
that. There are a couple issues that me as a talk show host over the years, that it is difficult to find people to have a civil conversation. Abortion is number one.
Right.
Abortion is the issue where it is very difficult to find people who are willing to sit down and have a civil conversation. There seems to be no gray area there. Guns, it's behind abortion, but it's still close. Not a lot of gray area.
You know, I think that there's a ton of gray area, and I think most Americans are in that gray area, but the folks who work in these areas are not gray.
No.
Right?
And the loudest voices.
The loudest voices. And so the folks you're going to book on your shows are going to be representatives from
right.
either side.
We try not to, on the show, book the loudest voices,
right.
but they are going to be representatives of their sides. This is so interesting. I wish we had more time. But, Deshaun, good luck. And what class are you in, by the way?
Dr. Dagnus's?
No, I mean with what year you graduate.
Oh, class of 2026.
Okay, so you got a few years left
before
you get into the real world, right?
Go out and conquer the real world.
That's right, conquer the real world.
Yeah.
I want to thank both of you for being with us today. Dr. Allison Dagnus is professor of political science at Shippensburg University, author, how many books now?
Three
and books?
Edited two, yeah.
Oh. You have any others in the works now?
Actually, yes. Yeah, I'm working
on it. Am I included in it?
Of course you are, because it's about political psychology, so you'll be my go-to.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Also, Deshaun Ford and Deshaun, I want to thank you very much for being with us today,
thank you.
Too. You're listening to The Spark on WITF, your home for NPR and discovering all things local. I'm Scott Lamar.